Genesis 22 is a passage that's familiar to you. I want to warn you, whenever you come across passages that are familiar to you, don't let them be familiar. It's too easy to say, oh, I know this story, and then get absolutely nothing out of it. When you look at the Bible and you read what it has to say, ask yourself a few questions. What does this passage say about God? Think of it from that perspective. What does this passage say about man? Think about it from that way. What does it say about sin? Does it tell me something directly? That is, it may be a story, as we look here, about Abraham and Isaac. It's easy to say, oh, that's a historical record, and read it as a historical record. You read a book about Abraham Lincoln, or you read about World War II, and it's a historical record, and you don't think too much about how it applies to us today. When you look at the Scriptures, understand it was written purposefully for your admonition, for your instruction, for your learning. So make sure you keep that in mind. Genesis chapter 12, of course, was the call of Abraham. Abraham out of the blue, because God decided Abraham was the man God was going to use. Was there anything fancy about Abraham that God chose him? Not according to the record. Out of the blue, God says to Abraham, get out, go to the country that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you great. You will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham follows what God tells him to do. He ends up in Egypt because of the famine. And there he lies to Pharaoh. It's a truth, but a deception. His wife was so beautiful, just like all you ladies here. His wife was so beautiful, and he was in fear of his life. The Pharaoh will like her and take my life in order to acquire her for himself. So he says, well, this is my... He told his wife, Sarai, to say that Abraham is her brother. We find in the event that happens with Abimelech later, the same sort of thing happens, and you find out actually they are related, which sounds really weird, but remember, we're not far enough in history that that is an issue. In chapter 13, Lot and Abraham, they separate, and then Abraham goes in the land of Canaan there, and Lot, he's there, but he goes more towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Chapter 14, you see that Lot is taken captive when war breaks out, and so Abraham delivers Lot by the hand of God, and there Abraham gives tribute to God, and you have the first record of a tithe. Chapter 15, God has already told Abraham that he is going to take and make Abraham great, but in chapter 15, he makes a covenant with him, and a formal covenant agreement, and so the animals are cut in two, and then God walks in between them, and not Abraham, because it's only one-sided covenant, and God walks in between them. And it is a demonstration, it's a formal title, if you will, to what's already promised to him. Chapter 16, Abraham has been promised that he's going to have a great nation, lots of kids, beyond him, whether he has one or many, and then their children and their children. But we find that he's impatient. He and Sarah are impatient, and as a result, Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, is given to Abraham, and Ishmael is born. Chapter 17, Abram's 99 years old, and now God, having made promises to Abraham, having made a covenant, a formal covenant with Abraham, now gives Abraham a sign, a picture, for him to use for all the generations following him of God's promise. On your fingers, lady, you have that promise ring on. It was the engagement ring, the promise of marriage, and now that ring that shows you are married. Here, the promise ring is circumcision that was to be a lasting covenant to them. In chapter 18, we have, in chapter 17 into 18 and 19, then we go and we have Sodom and Gomorrah take place, where God says he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He also says about a year from now, about 9 months from now, I'll be back. And Sarah's going to have a son, and she's in the kitchen. I made that part up, but she's in the kitchen, and she overhears, and she starts laughing. And she says, well, I didn't laugh. Isn't it interesting? His name is Isaac, which means laughter. It's not a mockery reminder to her, but the joy that her being 90 years old having a kid. You're not done yet. We go all the way to chapter 20. We see Abraham, Abimelech. We didn't go through that, but there is an account very similar to Abraham and Pharaoh. Verse 20, in chapter 21, finally, after all these years, about a year has passed, and Isaac is born. Chapter 22. This is really the end of Abraham's life, of the recorded life of Abraham. It's not until chapter 25 that you find out that he's dead and buried. So he's got three more chapters to go. But you don't find the story transfers from him to the death of Sarah and then the marriage of Isaac. Here in chapter 22, perhaps one of the more well-known passages of Scripture, but a passage that we must not let be too familiar to us. It's called I call it a faith sacrifice that is given here. You're familiar with the story, but let's look at it. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Do you remember where those words were spoken before? Well, not before, it's actually afterward. That was when Samuel was serving and in the temple with Eli. And he was just a young boy. And he heard his name, and so he runs and says, Eli, what is it? So I didn't call you, go back. It happens three times. Finally, Eli's got figured out. He says, wait a minute. This time, when you hear your name, you answer, yes, Lord, your servant hears. God was calling Abraham to do a task. And Abraham replies, here I am. And God says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. This evening, I want you to observe that faith works. The works of faith. The works of faith. Faith responds to God's will. Faith responds to God's will this way, that faith listens. Right off the bat, you have God asking, and you have Abraham said, yes, Lord, what is it? Now, I think you may have missed that before, the significance of it. And the significance I find is this, are you listening for God? We have a lot happening in our lives. Just a tremendous lot. We had camp season, and that was just seemed so busy. We didn't have a lot of activities here, but getting ready for camp, getting kids up to camp, bringing kids home from camp, keeping records for camp. There's a lot that was happening here. It's real easy when we are busy to not listen to God. Faith works. How often do you listen to God? How often do you listen to Him? Are you too busy working? Are you too busy finding out what's on TV? Are you too busy worrying about what the neighbor is doing? How often do you just listen to God? One of the things that I used to do, I haven't done it for a while, I don't think I've done it since I've been here, is on a Wednesday night have a day of prayer where all we do is we open up the doors and people come in and sit by themselves and they spend that whole half hour, hour in prayer. Well, it's somewhat of a program that will occur with music in the background and then a little bit of reading of scripture intermittently. But the whole purpose is to be still and to know that He is God. You can do that at home. And all you have to do is you take your remote control and you push the off button. That's all it takes. Send the kids outside to play. Get up really early in the morning or stay up late and listen. Spend time with the Lord. Open your Bible. Read scripture. Pray. Let Him talk to you. We are too busy with our thoughts. We are too busy, too excited about what's going on in the world, how the world is coming to an end, how that there's been a terrorist threat, and because of the terrorist threat, the embassies have been vacated. And so we can be concentrating on that, and we can completely ignore the fact that, hey, God is doing something. He's trying to talk to me. And so we observe that the first thing is that faith listens. Not only does the faith listen, but faith obeys. Faith listens and faith obeys. Chapter 22, verse 3. Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, servants, and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, rose, and went to the place which the Lord had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." What did he do? You remember a few chapters earlier when the angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah? They went into Sodom and they said to Lot, "Look, get your stuff, let's go." And Lot, remember what it said? He lingered. He's fussing around. Do I have everything? Did I lock the car up? Did I lock the windows up? Did I make sure the bank knew it was notified of our change of address? You know, all this, he was messing around. They done nearly dragged him out of the house. He heard God's word, and what did he do? Messed around. When you hear God's word, whether it's up here at the pulpit, maybe it's on the radio, maybe it's when you're reading your Bible that day, maybe it's as you are praying and God plants in your heart, "Hey, you need to do this today." How do you respond? "Well, that's a good idea. I suppose one of these days when I'm not busy, maybe I'll do that." We hear about sin and the effects of sin, or we hear about an influence of the world that we maybe need to get rid of in our lives. "Well, yeah, but, you know, maybe when I'm older." Are we as obedient as Abraham? Observe, he heard God's word, and the next thing he did, the next morning, he was up and saddling the donkeys. He rose early. He wanted to get this thing done. Faith listens to God. Faith obeys God. Faith believes God. Faith believes God. We have here in verse 5, the very end, they get down the bottom of the mountain. They're at Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, you see the background picture there a little bit, is Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. That traditionally is where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. They go on up to, from Beersheba up to Jerusalem. And there, Jerusalem wasn't established like it is now. But they went up there and they went at the bottom of the hill. Abraham turns and looks at his servants and says, Abraham and Isaac, my son, are going to go up and we're going to worship up here. And, he says, we will come back down to you. Now, I know you did pretty good in math, so let's try this out. God tells Abraham to go sacrifice his son. If two people go up the mountain and one person is dead, how many come back? That's right, two. That's the way God does math. Verse 8, Abraham responds to Isaac, because Isaac says, look, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide. In a very twisted way, if you wanted to show that, you could have Abraham looking at Isaac and saying, don't worry, my boy, God will provide. You're it. No, he says, God will provide. What did Abraham know? What did Abraham know at this point? He knew that he was to take his son to the mountain and kill the boy. That's what he knew. He also knew the character of God. So, he knew somehow that there would be two of them returning. We can speculate. Did Abraham expect that after his son was killed, that God would raise him from the dead immediately? Was it that Abraham was speaking generally and saying, well, we will come down, and really mean just he would be coming back? When he says that God would provide himself the lamb, I mark in my Bible, and I have that highlighted, God will provide himself the lamb. That's a New Testament verse there. God will provide himself the lamb. Was he thinking that, well, somehow God's going to work it out. I know I'm supposed to do my part. And maybe my kid will turn to a lamb or they'll switch places. Or he had no clue. He knew that God was in charge. So don't think that Abraham is marching right up there and saying, okay, well, this will be easy because I know God won't let this happen. Now, think about your own children. Now, I've got four of them, and I don't think I could depart with any of them. If I did, though, it might... No. Take one of your kids, and you personally sacrificing them to the Lord? Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? You're walking up the mountain. Step by step, you're Abraham, or Abrahamette, as the case may be for you. You're Abraham walking up the mountain, and you're watching the boy carry his own wood. Do you see a parallel there, by the way? Who else carried his own wood to his own sacrifice? Jesus Christ. There's a lot of parallels here. His own son was walking to be sacrificed, step after step, step after step. Are you thinking to yourself, okay, how do I convince this kid that I'm going to tie him down on this altar? When I kill him, in what manner am I going to do this? Did Abraham have tears running down his cheeks the closer they got? It's all speculation. But consider if it was you going to sacrifice your own son. Abraham, he believes. He knows that God's going to do something. He knows the steps that he's supposed to take and that God is going to do what he does. Now, it's God's business what he does. And so Abraham just goes practically blind into this thing. He knows his part, but he knows that God's going to do something. It appears that he has a faith that says, look, I know God's going to work this out somehow. It's the same sort of thing that we need to have. The heart that we know God is going to do something. The works of faith. Faith responds to God's will by listening to God's will, by obeying God's will, and then believing God's will. We need to trust and act on God's promises and abilities. Further, the will of faith. The will of faith. We looked at this story from Abraham's side. Let's look at it from God's side now. The will of faith. How God reveals His will. See, the fact is God does reveal His will. We think at times that God's will is like the game Memory. You know, when you take all the cards and you flop them up, mix them up, flop them all upside down. And then you turn one over, okay? It's the two of spades. You have to choose one of the other ones, pick it, and if it's the two, it'd have to be two of clubs. You have two black cards then. The two of clubs, you've got the two black twos, they match, and then you get to go again. God doesn't do His will that way. He doesn't hide His will. We think He does, but He doesn't. He reveals it. He reveals it in His time, but He reveals His will. The problem is that we usually aren't paying much attention. Sometimes one of the kids will talk to me or my wife will talk to me, and if I am busy doing something and I'm concentrating on it, I don't even hear them. No, really, I don't. I'm just not saying that. I don't hear them. The noise probably goes in my ear, but doesn't register in my brain. I don't know that they're talking to me because I'm concentrating on something else. When we're up at camp, when in the dining, I don't know what's wrong with these kids. You think by the end of the day, they'd all be wore out. And it was always the end of the day that they were the noisiest in the chow hall. It was hard to hear, and you had to concentrate and look and listen purposefully to people talking to you. It wasn't like outrageous. Once in a while it was, but it was loud enough that you really had to pay attention when people were talking to you. We don't pay attention to God the way we should, but He is talking to us. He's talking to us through His Word. But how often are you reaching for His Word throughout the day? He's talking to our hearts in prayer. But how often are we not just praying a rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub sort of prayer? How often do we just sit down and pray with and with, let God speak to us as we share our request with Him? How often do we turn the TV off in preference to something that would be Christian or some way that God can use to encourage us, even through friends and fellow believers? God is revealing His will to us. He revealed it to Abraham, calling him Abraham, Abraham. Sometimes God needs to get a hold of our attention a little better. We see in verse 9, they came to the place where God told him. And Abraham, he built the altar there, and he placed Isaac on the altar. And he stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Now, thinking about this, I imagine his hand way up here getting ready to plunge it into his son. But I was looking for images, at different images, pictures that artists had come up with. And some had Abraham's hand on Isaac's throat and the knife down here, so that the knife is pulled and near his son. Wherever that knife was, if you're Isaac, it's way too close no matter where it is. If that knife is right there, and things are just about to happen, the angel, in verse 11, called to Abraham from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" Abraham's really good at this. He says, "Here I am." Sometimes God needs to get our attention quick. And I think he did there when he got hold of Abraham. He says, "Don't lay your hand on the lad. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. What did Abraham say before? God will provide for himself a lamb. And guess what he did? Provided himself a lamb. Caught in the thickets was that ram, and he offered it instead of his son. God provides what's needed. And the will of faith, the will, God's will, as part of faith, God reveals his will, and God provides what is needed. When God reveals to you what he wants done, he provides the means and ability to do it. When you look at the scriptures, you're reading it, and you're reading about some of these sins, like being unthankful. Yes, that's a sin. Being unthankful. And you realize, you know, I haven't been all that thankful to those who are around me. God gives you the ability and strength to be thankful. He helps you when you are complaining to change your heart and be thankful. Oh, well, look at this or look at that. People do it with work, people do it with church, people do it with their bills, anything. God said to be thankful for everything because this is God's will in your life. That's hard sometimes. But to know that God is using this for his will, God provides what's needed, whether it's strength to be able to do it, the knowledge, the know-how to do it, the ability to resist it, or the ability to perform it. God provides. He provided the sacrifice. He provides for his will in your life. Lord, you want me to talk to my neighbor? I don't know how. Well, are you saved? God's given you the ability. One, you've got a testimony to share how you are saved. And secondly, he says, I've given you my Holy Spirit. So, you know it's God's will for you to share Christ. What do you think you should do? God's revealed his will. God has provided what's needed to do his will. You look at the neighbor across the street and the things that they're struggling with. And you're not the personality just to come up out of the blue and say, "Hey, you know, it looks like you need a hand. Let me help you with that." Maybe you're a more reserved person, more private, more less outgoing. But you know God's knocking on your heart saying, "Why don't you go over and talk to them?" Guess what? He's given you the ability. "Well, I don't think I could do that." Yeah, you can. Because God reveals his will and then he empowers. He provides what's needed to do His will. Thirdly here, we see God blesses the faithful. Back in verse 1, we see that God calls Abraham. Abraham's response was to hear, to listen to God. And then to obey God, and then to believe God and do what he was told to do. He trusted God throughout the whole thing. And then God, the way he works is he reveals his will, and then he provides what's needed to do his will, and then he blesses the faithful. In verse 12, he says, "Don't lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, now that I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Then Abraham lifted his eyes. He saw the ram. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. You hear that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And a lot of people think, well, God will provide for my money needs, and God will provide for my health needs. And that's true. But the context of it is God will provide the sacrifice needs. Consider that. "As he said to this day, as it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, By myself I have sworn, said the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. In blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the shore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of your enemies, and your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." When God sees the faithful do his work, he blesses them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Knowing that the Lord, the work that you do in the Lord is not empty. You will receive reward, blessing from it. Hudson Taylor was a famous missionary, went to China. He was sailing on a vessel. He's a man of faith. The sort of faith that we should have. The kind that listens to God and obeys God. The kind that believes God will do what he says he will do. We know that God reveals his will to us and provides what's needed and will bless us as we are faithful to him. Well, Hudson Taylor, on this sailing vessel, was very close to the shore of Cannibal Islands. And the ship was headed the wrong way towards the islands where the cannibals were. It was slowly drifting ashore and was unable to go anywhere. And the savages were on the shore. They were thinking it's dinner time. The captain came to Mr. Taylor and asked him to pray for help from God. And Taylor said, "I will, provided that you put the sails out to catch the breeze." Now, there had been no breeze. They're going ashore, and he says, "I'll pray if you pull the sails out." The captain declined and made himself to make himself a laughing stock by undoing the sails when it's dead calm. Taylor said, "I will not pray for the vessel unless you prepare the sails." Why did he say that? What kind of faith do you have? Well, it was done. The sails were dropped. And while he was in prayer, there's a knock at the door of the stateroom. "Who is there?" the captain's voice responded. "Are you still praying for wind? "Well, yes, we are." "Well," said the captain, "you better stop praying. because we've got more wind than we can manage right now. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have the kind of sacrifice faith that Abraham had? He sacrificed his own son, or was going to. It was a sacrifice. Whenever we trust God, we sacrifice. We sacrifice our own pride. We sacrifice sometimes our own logic, our own knowledge, our own wisdom. We sacrifice sometimes our own character, a reputation that is, where we might be belittled because of the way we act in faith. If we test and know that what God has said in our heart, or as we look at the scripture and He makes clear to us what we have to do, make that sacrifice, trust God, and follow through. And even as God blessed Abraham, He will bless you. Not necessarily with a great number of descendants, certainly heavenly rewards, and certainly even rewards here on this earth as you see Him work. So here's my challenge to you tonight. I want to challenge you to be like Abraham and to have that sacrificial faith. I want to challenge you that sometime this week, very early this week, perhaps tonight, perhaps tomorrow morning, be quiet, be in prayer, reading your Bible, for an amount of time. Don't limit yourself to the 3 minutes that it usually takes, or 10 minutes. Spend some time allowing God to really work on your heart, and listen. If He puts something in your heart, I want you to act by faith on it. I want you to either set aside certain sin in your life or to go and do something God sets in your heart. And I want you to do it by way of faith. Not because I say so, but because God does and it's good for you. Practice it. When you're sitting there and you're reading God's Word or you're in prayer, and you're not hearing that knock on your heart's door, don't get nervous. God will reveal His will. He might do it through circumstances. He might do it by way of a friend or family. But be aware and then move by faith. Know that you don't have to have all the details, but move by faith, knowing that God will provide if He indeed has put it in your heart. Up at camp, there was a special ops that the kids were given every day, Tuesday through Friday. And they were given a box, and they opened the box, and in the box were instructions. Clear instructions what they had to do. They were not given every detail. So they had to go out, and they had to hunt stuff down. One of them was they had to go find a box. And in the black box was a circuit board, and they had destroyed the circuit board. Absolutely annihilated. One group, the first group, broke it in half and thought that was good enough, so I got after them. They knew that there was supposed to be a box out there, but they had to find it. I was not nice about this. They had to get there. They weren't quite sure right where it was. They had a satellite map with a circle, which was kind of helpful. So they had that direction, got up there. They had to hunt around, finally find the box. They had to trust that there was actually something up there. Now, that would have been mean, wouldn't it? They had to trust me that there was something up there and they had to find it. And then that they had the means and ability to take care of the circuit board that was in there. We're not always given all the details when God tells us what to do. God didn't tell Abraham, well, just when you pull the knife out, I'm going to stop you. No, that wasn't there. Step by faith.